Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. It's not only interesting, it's extremely alarming how you have an increasing amount of people who bid Godspeed today and defend things that are absolutely diametrically opposed to the Word of God, which means, according to Jesus in John 8:47, these people are not of God. Yeah, you heard me. They're not of God. Jesus said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore," he tells the false religionists of his day, "hear them not, and you are not of God." I want you to go into your Bible and I want you to mark that scripture, in particular, John 8:47. John 8:47. Underline the words "of God" and "not of God." Who is of God? Anybody who is of God upholds the written Word of God as the final and highest divine authority. That's exactly how you know who is of God. Anybody who does not uphold the Holy Scriptures, which are given by God by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they're profitable for it. Where do we get doctrine? The Word of God. Correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness concerning all things that pertain unto life and godliness and the Christian faith. That's where we get them, from the Word of God, the exceeding great and precious promises of God's Word. Second Peter 1:3-4. But it's just absolutely amazing how people can just go off on a topic that they don't have any clue what the Bible teaches. But even worse is those who are misusing Scripture to try to make those things true. It's amazing, you know. That's how you know somebody hasn't repented. They're living in a fairy tale world. They don't want certain things to be true. Now, we're going to address a certain vile heresy here in a minute. And Jezebel, where you got people who want to believe that women can be pastors and elders, overseers over men, even though the Bible says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but she is to learn in silence. That's specifically speaking of the gatherings of the gathering of the saints. Notice, though, on our general preface here, as we do a little intro, Paul said that we are not as many which corrupt. There you go. You got to get to know this verse, 2 Corinthians 2:17. He's saying many what corrupt. That means twist or misuse and take out of context the Word of God. But he says we're of, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So Paul is comparing his ministry with the many. He says they're many. You ever notice how the Bible uses the word many nearly every time it's talking about false teachers, or many times, I should say? Jesus said that in the last days preceding his return, many false prophets would deceive many. Matthew 24:11. But you got a lot of people who are corrupting the Word of God. They are misusing the Word of God and taking it out of context. I was in a firestorm conversation today that somebody invited me into, and I tell you what, these Jezebels and Ahabs are out of control, man. They don't want to hear the truth. They just want to believe that women were created the same as men, you know, against nature, against the stated word of God. You know, you got people in society, lost folks, that are saying a man can be a woman and a woman a man, which is beyond delusional, okay? And it's against the word of God. It's against creation and creative design. If a man can get pregnant and have a baby, where's the baby going to come out? Please tell me. Okay, but then you got in the church that same evil spirit of Satan that is casting doubt on the word of God and changing it just like he did in the Garden of Eden. Okay, it's the same evil spirit. You got a lot of people that think they're saved that do not know Jesus, and it's very obvious because they are not only stating falsehoods, but they're not being corrected by them. And Paul said after the first or second admonition, reject the heretic, the first and second. That's Titus chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. I've been busy doing that today. When people won't be corrected by the word of God, I simply ask them, please explain to me, please explain to everybody here, why Paul, why the Holy Spirit did not mean what he said when he said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. When there's instruction, there's preaching going on in the body of Christ, it has to be coming from a man. The Bible says one of the qualifications for an elder is that he must be the husband of one wife. 1 Timothy 3:2. Can somebody explain to me how a woman can be a husband? Impossible. Therefore, we know by that and many other clear statements, as I just read out of 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, that a woman is not to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Now, we see women doing all kinds of ministry in the New Testament. We see them prophesying in 1 Corinthians 14. We see God instructing women to teach to younger women, Titus chapter 2, verse 5. They can teach children, etc., but they are not called to preach to men. Okay, that doesn't mean a man can't hear a conversation or be sitting there talking with sisters in Christ and learn something. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've learned a lot from women. Women surrounded Jesus's ministry. Now, let me just say this up front. Okay, this is not about oppression. This is about the protection of the body of Christ and women. If you want to get a taste of the absolute destruction, satanic destruction, that comes when women are allowed to operate outside of the role God ordained them to operate in, I want you to read Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 through 24, where the Lord Jesus addresses the church of Thyatira. And he uses this term one time in all of his speaking. Jesus uses the word here, the depths, the lowest dark depths of Satan, when he is referring to these men who he mainly blames, who allowed this Jezebel, a woman, to operate outside of the ordained role for women, which does not include being elders in the Lord's church. Okay, and we have a video. I'm going to post it. I'm going to put this at the bottom of this post. A post called Jezebel, the Depths of Satan. Again, Jesus said that allowing Jezebel, a woman, this woman who calls herself a prophetess, notice how that's worded there in Revelation 2:20 through 24. She calls herself a prophetess. Note that. What does that mean? She's self-appointed. God doesn't call any woman to be an elder in the body of Christ, okay? That doesn't mean women can't operate in the gifts of the Spirit and do the other things, many other things we see them doing in Scripture, including evangelize. But in the church gatherings, they're not to be teaching men. It's out of order. It's out of God's order. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. That's what the Bible says. And the true disciple will say, yes, sir, Jesus. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. There are no female apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, or teachers under the New Testament, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 11 and 12. Notice what that says. Notice Jesus gave gifts unto men. Notice men specifically in verse 8 there. And then he mentions that he gave to some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are simply functions of certain men God calls out into full-time leader ministry. Okay, it's not to wear titles or bring attention to themselves, but that just speaks of the function of the gifting of God in them to care for and serve his body as they teach the word of God. But there's no female apostle. How many of the 12 apostles of Christ were female? Zero. You got it right. Okay. Why? Because God doesn't ordain that women lead in the church. Jesus gave these gifts unto men, specifically Ephesians 4:8. By the way, let me stop here and say that this is not an equality situation. This is a walk in the role God called you to walk in, okay? The husband and the wife. We've got order and we've got specific roles God created men and women to fulfill. It's time to get in our roles, folks, and to truly repent. Come before the Lord, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:11-2. And that's what we need to do, is begin with repentance and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Receive the washing of water by the word of God as we repent and study to show ourselves approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Stop listening to the false teachers, okay? The Jezebel women, they're the ones peddling all this stuff. And these women are like the cult of Jezebel. They keep coming up with these same lame, substanceless excuses to justify women being in ministry, which we're going to cover a couple of them here in a minute. We do have just a whole cache of post under the Jezebel category on safeguardyoursoul.com. One of them, the titles is called Beware of the Scripture Twisting Jezebels, and it's full of examples of how they misuse Scripture to try to perpetrate this heresy that women can be elders in the body of Christ. One of the ways they attempt to twist Scripture is where we read about Philip's four daughters in the book of Acts, and that is Acts chapter 21, verse 9. But notice they just prophesied. See, that's one of the gifts, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. That's not an eldership position or place or calling in the body of Christ. That's merely a gift of the Spirit, which all believers, doesn't matter if you're male or female, can function in. Okay, we see that specifically, women prophesying in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, so again, this is debunked. See, Philip had four daughters and they prophesied, so they're prophets or prophetesses. No, they're not. They're not prophets, as are listed the fivefold ministry, as many call it, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in Ephesians 4:11-12, as teaching elders to perfect and mature and equip the body of Christ. Okay, again, those are function. Those aren't titles to be used to bring attention to somebody's self. We see that a lot too. But those are places to serve, okay? And it's all going to be men that are doing it. God does this to protect us and not to oppress anyone. Again, Revelation 2:20-24, if you go into study and what he says there, is it happens in the Thyatiran church, because the false teacher men, in particular these gutless cowards, allowed a woman who calls herself Jezebel, called herself Jezebel, to function in leadership. They allowed her. They suffered her. That means allowed her. Okay, so if you want to say Jezebel was in the Old Testament only, you're dead wrong, because Jesus addresses it in the church there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 through 24. The office gifts, as some call it, are eldership functions for men, notice, called to be overseers over Christ's flock, which is completely different than the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, which every believer can function in, and certainly women are seen doing just as Philip's daughters did in operating in the gifts of the Spirit there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, and on that note today, some lady was using Acts 2:17 and 18. This is also another trick of the devil that Jezebels and Ahabs try to use to propagate this heresy that women can be leaders in Christ's church or elders. They take out of context Acts 2:17 and 18, which says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall do what? Prophesy." Again, that's a gift of the Spirit. That's not a ministry calling as an elder. There's a difference. That's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, is to prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, that's female, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So does that right there tell us that women can be elders in the body of Christ? No, indeed. Notice, women can prophesy, not preach to men. Again, 1 Timothy 2:12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to learn in silence." Okay, does that need any interpretation? No. So does God pour out his Holy Spirit on women in order to get them to do something he forbid them to do? No. That is to assume a place of leadership over men in the church or at home. No. Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of his wife. That's God's order. And anybody that's outside of that order is a rebel. Okay, and is in danger of hellfire. And God is calling you to repent and get in Bible order. You're out of Bible blessings if you're out of Bible order. The fact that the Lord fills someone with his Spirit, which he desires to do with all believers, by the way, especially in this last hour, that's to testify of Christ, like the woman at the well. Again, they try to say this woman was an elder in the church. Jesus ministered to her, she got right with God, and she went and told everybody in town. That's evangelism, okay? That's something every believer should do. That's different from when the church gets together, whether it be two or more, having a woman to lord over or to usurp the authority that God gave to men to be elders and to teach the body of Christ the Word of God as they are learning it themselves. Okay, so God's not the author of confusion. He didn't contradict himself here. Again, the fact that the Lord fills someone with his Spirit, that's to testify of Christ and his saving grace and salvation, but never to act outside of his stated roles for men and women. I mean, it's just unbelievable this even has to be stated. But God created men and women uniquely, complementarily, if that's even the way you say it, or that's a word. There's probably a better way to explain it, but God gave women the ability to bear children, okay, not men. Creative design, as we study the design of his creation, it becomes a little bit more easy to understand this. In the same way, in the church meetings, men, and in the function of the body of Christ, men only are to be elders. There are no female apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers. Okay, there's just not any of them. Anita Villarreal, a friend of mine, sister in Christ, she said this: Jezebel is a widely rampant spirit of rebellion that is hard to get rid of, rooted in pride, self-will, and self-sufficiency. Only the Lord can deliver, but only if the individual truly repents and submits to God, to His word. Amen. So, did Jesus address Jezebel and the lame, gutless, coward men who allowed her to function in the church? I've already mentioned that, and the answer is absolutely in Revelation 2, 20 through 24. It's time to become enlightened by the Holy Scriptures alone, to stop listening to false teachers, and get biblical. Study the Word of God. Okay, there's no such thing, friends, as a saved Ahab or Jezebel. Anybody who believes these things that these people are believing are not Christians, period. Doesn't matter how spiritual they seem or how long they claim to be saved or how so-called spirit-filled. I wonder what spirit they're full of. It's not the Holy Spirit of truth, because He leads into all truth, and He's the one that gave us the truth, the Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify, as you prayed to the Father, them, the body of Christ, through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. So there's no such thing as a saved Jezebel. That will be like saying that Calvinists are saved. Nope, they're not saved at all. How can you believe something so diametrically opposed to the Word of God and be saved? You're not. Okay? So notice Titus 2, 3 through 5, the aged women, in other words, the older women, likewise, that they in behavior, they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus 2, 3 through 5. Okay, now do we know who Ahab was? You know, you got these men on there defending this garbage. That's even more disgusting than these Jezebels trying to defend this lie that women can be elders in the body of Christ. And that's most concerning, and it really just underscores how much power this evil spirit that operates through these Jezebel mothers and women have feminized these men. And God holds them completely accountable. In fact, the reason why they're doing these things and trying to defend these women who want to be leaders in the church is because they're under the spirit and under the control of demons and doctrines of demons, which this definitely is, this doctrine of Jezebel. Now, one Christian person said this. They said, if you want to argue for women being pastors and preachers, would you stop twisting the clear words of Scripture and simply say you don't believe what the Bible teaches? In other words, will you just get honest? You don't believe the Bible at all. You're not a person of God. It would be far more, he says, or she, intellectually honest. Absolutely agree with that. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. In fact, verse 11 in that passage says this. Here it is. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. And then he continues and talks about the creative design of God. It says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, book of Genesis, chapter 1 and 2, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived, chapter 3 of Genesis, was in the transgression. And by the way, let's point out here that Satan attacked the human race in the Garden of Eden, which he still does this today. He hasn't changed. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that he has everything he tempts us with is common to man, okay, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Who did Satan approach when he tried to get a foothold, tried to get a crack in the armor tried to get slither into the human race and cause it to fall. He went to the woman and he tempted her, right? And the way he tempted her first was to cast out on the word of God, Genesis 3:1. Hath God said, see, and that's what we were dealing with at the onset here. A lot of people don't really believe the word of God, and Adam and Eve didn't cling to the word of God. Had they clung to it, they wouldn't have taken the bait and eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and caused the fall of mankind by their sin of rebellion against God. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Okay, that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and through verse 14. Okay, here's another objection. I was conversing with a lady one day, and she said, when men are puny in leadership, then what? First of all, for her to say men being puny, that tells you a lot about this lady, for her to even use these words. You notice the attack on men these days? I mean, it's just unmasked, man. It's just full bore, man. It's okay to attack men. You can't say anything about a woman. Are certain protected species among us, you know. But, man, everybody's just encouraged to just attack men left and right. And that's what all of the programming, the CIA Project Mockingbird demonic programming is when you watch TV and fake news, which I highly recommend you lay the axe to the root, and you should have stopped a long time ago. You have been and are being deceived, brainwashed, and indoctrinated. So my reply to this lady who, and this is one of the most famous excuses for women being in leadership, that, oh, if the men won't lead, you know, right, then a woman has to take, no. And then they use Deborah in the Old Testament, this isolated situation, none of which you see in the New Testament anyway. You see not one woman as an elder in all the New Testament, the 27 books of Scripture. Not one woman was among the 12 original apostles of Christ, which is an office of eldership. So my reply to her was, that's still the fact that supposedly men won't rise up and be the leader. That still never justifies the additional sin of women taking the place of the man in leadership over the body of Christ. The Lord is clear in 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 that to suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Two wrongs do not make a right. To this rebel, it's all about them. People like this lady, it's all about them, okay, and not Christ and the protection of his body. It's all about what they think and say and not about Jesus clearly stated, what he clearly stated in his final authority word, the word of God, the written word of God. In Revelation 2, 20 through 24, Jesus solemnly warned us of the destruction that comes when a Jezebel is allowed, a woman, any woman, allowed to function outside of the order of God ordained for women. Okay? She functions in the man's role. He specifically blames the men in Revelation 2 who were supposed to stop such. Remember when God gave the curse of the woman in Genesis 3 after the fall, he said, your desire will be to your husband. And many scholars believe that means that her desire will be to assume the role of her husband. That's why you have such a push, especially in this late hour before Christ's return, of women wanting to, you know, they're equal to men and, you know, they can do anything a man can do. And, you know, now they got that coming back in their face because now the boys are saying, and the men, okay, if you can, then beat me in a race, beat me in a football game, beat me in a boxing match, and the women are being destroyed. Okay? And there are many other ways that the poetic justice is coming back on them. Now, this is talking about ungodly women. This isn't talking about virtuous, godly women. They know better. They follow the Lord. They're humbly submitted to him with a meek and quiet spirit, and they love and submit to their husbands, and they teach their children, and they stay in the role God ordained them to be in. They are keepers at home. they take care of their relationship with Jesus first, and then their husband in that order, and then their children. Amen. So another question came forth on this subject, but can't the Jezebel spirit take hold on man, child, or woman all the same? In other words, don't we see male Jezebels, children Jezebels? It doesn't take hold of just women, right? My answer was, well, those characteristics, yes, those evil, pride-filled characteristics can be in anyone, right? The Jezebel of the Old and New Testament, though, were women. 1 Kings and Revelation 2, usually it's a woman. Notice that woman, Jezebel, Jesus said, Revelation 2, 20 through 24, so it was a woman also. So usually it's a woman, and that's due to the corruption of roles where a woman is allowed by unrepentant men to lead in a place that she's not called to lead in, and that is forbidden of God. So that's another way they try to get the heat off of themselves, I think, by saying, well, men can be Jezebel. I said, well, yeah, but we don't have any man in the Bible called the Jezebel, okay? Jezebel, by the way, is equal to Judas. You know, you don't see people naming their children Judas or Jezebel. You ever notice that? Why? Because both of those names are cursed because of the evil people who had those names in the Bible. Okay, and notice the name Jezebel is spelled in Hebrew L-Y-Z. E-B-E-L, L-Y-Z-E-B-E-L, and it means, this is what it means, Baal exalts an unhusbanded one without cohabitation and unchaste. This spirit hates authority, despises correction, and hates being subjected to authority, and loves attention. Notice, loves attention. All of this stuff points to and comes out of an evil, prideful heart. Okay, so notice here in this definition concerning what we see the word or the name Jezebel to be coming out of, the word being Lizabel, if you will, which means Baal exalts unhusbanded one without cohabitation and unchaste. Okay, so notice Baal is a demon, a deity, if you will, a Canaanite Phoenician god of fertility, weather, specifically rainstorms. God's people would worship Baal on and off throughout the Old Testament history, and God would be completely infuriated because Baal is basically Satan himself. All idols are set up as a front, but it's Satan behind all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 through 21. We also see that in the Pentateuch. In the Bible, though, Baal was an important Canaanite god with a small g, often portrayed as the primary enemy of Jehovah. Biblical authors reduce Baal to a generic term for, quote, other gods, unquote, and accuse the chosen people of honoring him in order to vindicate Jehovah. So Baal is a demon described in demonological writings, and that's what he is. Baal is the false god worshipped today and for centuries in the Middle Eastern communities, especially the Canaanites. So that ought to give you a little background to this Jezebel, Lizabel in the Hebrew, where it's defined as Baal exalts an unhusbanded one without cohabitation and unchaste. And notice she's unhusbanded, even if she's married, because that would refer principally to her being completely rebellious and doing her own thing instead of being submitted to God. So what about, somebody might say, what about the Lydia question? Somebody asked this. They said, what about Lydia, the Thessalonian church, was started in her house? Paul directly wrote to her. Amen. She was a blessed sister. Amen. Regardless of how people try to misuse her name today, I guess I should speak about things because I'm just a dumb woman. I shouldn't speak about that. I'm just a dumb woman whose only use is to suffer for the sins of Eve in childbirth. Okay, that's what she wrote. I guess I should speak about... Okay, anyway, the answer to this question about Lydia was given to her. I wrote this. I said, I am praying for you, my friend. Lydia was hospitable and a woman of God. Amen. That doesn't make her an elder or a pastor. She merely facilitated the men of God who were the elders. You are not a dumb woman. No one insinuated such except yourself. We are peering into what God says is the role of a man and the unique role of a woman in the family and in the church, I wrote to her. Then I said, and a woman is to be protected by the men of God around her, by not allowing her to lead in a place that she doesn't belong, which brings great destruction, not only on her, but on all of the children and everybody in the church, according to Revelation 2, 20 through 24. Jesus said that he's going to kill her children with death. And that's why you see so much destruction going on among these churches that are run by women. Not only the ones that are in the pulpits, but the ones even more insidiously that control their husbands. And those guys are gutless cowards to allow a woman to control their life. See, they've given their strength to women, which is Lemuel's mother told him not to do. Proverbs 31:3. Don't give your strength to women. Your strength, your honor, your valor, the place you're called to be. That's for you to walk in as God's created servant. And you're going to give account to him. So never hand it off to a woman or anybody else. That's what Ahabs do, weak, moral cowards. By the way, Ahab was the husband of Jezebel. And you can read about him in 1 and 2 Kings. He's an evil, evil man. It's said to be one of, if not the worst kings ever in Israel. So Lydia was a servant of the Lord, not an elder over Christ's body. See, these people are grasping for every straw they can possibly get their hands on to try to justify this heresy that women are to be something God forbid them to be. And that would be elders in the body of Christ. And so Lydia's name is mentioned twice in the New Testament, Acts 16, 14 and 40. Listen to what it says. And a certain woman, and by the way, when I read this, try to figure out if this is actually saying, listen closely, is this saying directly or even insinuated that she was an elder in the body of Christ? No, listen. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, oh boy, Thyatira, wow, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul, or of Paul. Then in verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So there it is right there. They entered into the house of Lydia. So this is how desperate these people are today that are trying to prove, quote unquote, that women can be elders. See, Lydia, you know, was an elder, right? No, Lydia was merely a servant, a saved servant of the Lord, a woman of God who humbly served him. Lydia is mentioned only twice in the New Testament, and there's no slight indication of her doing anything except what's most important, and that's serving in the way God's, the way God ordained for women to do. And you know, one pastor said this. He said, look, women have the highest calling on earth and in the body of Christ, servant. Amen. So this is how the Jezebels out there try to misuse scripture when they try to make the case for an eldership in women being elders by bringing in Lydia. You read the sum total of what's listed about Lydia. We just read it. And she was hospitable to the men of God. Okay? And she probably fed them and took care of them or something like that. That doesn't make her an elder in the body of Christ. So, again, this shows you how Jezebels today seek, and Ahabs, seek to manipulate Scripture and deceive the unlearned. It would take a whole lot, a huge amount of reading into, keyword into, what this text says to conclude that Lydia was an elder in the body of Christ. Absolutely ridiculous to impose that on the Scriptures when there's no such indication. Okay, and how about this? This is one that they use a lot. It's the Galatians 3:28. Notice what it says, Galatians 3:28. There is, now Paul is talking about in the book of Galatians, justification, not roles, okay? The Bible talks a lot about the role of the man and the role of the woman, much of which we've already been through in this message. But this is not talking about roles. This is specifically talking about being justified by Christ, not the law. So these Jezebels attempt to use this verse to justify their rebellion. But let's take a look at it. Listen to this verse. There is neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ, in the family of God, that is. There is neither bond nor free. In other words, free people and those in jail. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Unquote. There it is. You're all one in Christ. Okay? That's not speaking of roles. We are all one in equality and in justification in this common salvation we share in that Christ provided. And yet God created males and females with unique roles. Men and women do not have the same roles. God's not an idiot. Nature reveals that. God made men and women to fulfill unique roles in the family and in the church. Galatians 3:28 is not dealing with roles, but rather justification. This is a typical lame excuse and tactic used to condone women operating outside of the role God ordained them to function in. Okay, and the role he did not call them to function in, which is the man's role, which would include being an elder, an overseer in the body of Christ. Equality in God's justification is Christ. Okay? And that's what he's talking about in Galatians 3:28. Christ is our salvation, and we're justified by him. And it doesn't matter if you, what nationality you are or whether you're male or female, we're all one in Christ. But there are specific roles that we're called to function in. Okay, and Galatians 3:28 is not dealing with roles. It's simply speaking of justification and does nothing to negate the divinely stated purposes and duties for the unique complementary roles, the distinct roles of men and women. You know when a woman is rebellious too, I might note, in heart and therefore under the influence of the devil himself, when she's looking for reasons and scripture to quote-unquote proof text, she can be an elder in the body of Christ. But again, the Bible says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority of the man, but to be in silence. Now, we do have a thorough teaching. We put it all into one video called the Proverbs 31 Woman. And we'll make sure that's linked down below. Okay, we're going to go ahead and close this. There's so much that could be said here about this this topic. You know, we've got a Jezebel category. We've also got manhood category. You can put in the word Ahab, if you'd like, into the search box. Talking about Ahabish men. That was, again, the husband of Jezebel, the weak moral coward who allowed her to function in the role in the way that she did, being the most wicked woman in history. We've got a post under women, category women, safeguardyoursoul.com/women. Again, as a Proverbs 31 series that's actually put all into one video, and it's been heralded by numerous ladies, by the way. You'll see some of the reviews we've received since that came out. One of the posts also in the Jezebel category is called Traits of a Jezebel. I think that's done by some ladies. I posted that. Okay, here's another one titled The Jezebel Spirit, Direct Opposition of the Holy Spirit of God, done by ladies. Also, 8 Things Women Are to Teach Other Women, including and especially younger women, as we've read from Titus 2, 3 through 5 earlier. Also, Beware of the Intercessors. Wow, that's an explosive video right there. Also, here's one called Weak Ahabish Men, a rebuke to the men who are allowing and even defending this heretical idea that women can be elders in the body of Christ. Folks, God bless you. Glad we had these moments together. May God bless each of us to have a heart of flesh and to grow in grace, to be multiplied in His grace, and to keep ourselves in the love of God as we look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming soon. God bless you. And by the way, thank you for those that are supporting this outreach. We are supplying other believers that are soul winning and ministering constantly all over the country and in some parts of the world with Bibles and the ministry book resources that are full of scripture. And we just want to say thank you. We definitely need and are definitely fueled by your prayers and support. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.